Speechwork Document 24. The Middle Course in Federal Control of Corporations. From the message of the President, read at the opening of the second session of the 59th Congress, December 3, 1906. The present Congress has taken long strides in the direction of securing proper supervision and control by the national government over corporations engaged in interstate business, and the enormous majority of corporations of any size are engaged in interstate business. The passage of the Railway Rate Bill, and only to a less degree the passage of the Pure Food Bill, and the provision for increasing and rendering more effective national control over the beef packing industry, mark an important advance in the proper direction. In the short session it will perhaps be difficult to do much further along this line, and it may be best to wait until the laws have been in operation for a number of months before endeavoring to increase their scope, because only operation will show with exactness their merits and their shortcomings and thus give opportunity to define what further remedial legislation is needed. Yet in my judgment it will in the end be advisable in connection with the packing house inspection law to provide for putting a date in the label and for charging the cost of inspection to the packers. All these laws have already justified their enactment. The Interstate Commerce Law, for instance, has rather amusingly falsified the predictions, both of those who asserted that it would run the railroads and of those who asserted that it did not go far enough and would accomplish nothing. During the last 5 months the railroads have shown increased earnings and some of them unusual dividends, while during the same period the mere taking effect of the law has produced an unprecedented, a hitherto unheard of number of voluntary reductions in freights and fares by the railroads. Since the founding of the commission there has never been a time of equal length in which anything like so many reduced tariffs have been put into effect. In August 27th, for instance, 2 days before the new law went into effect, the commission received notices of over 5,000 separate tariffs which represented reductions from previous rates. It must not be supposed, however, that with the passage of these laws it will be possible to stop progress along the line of increasing the power of the national government over the use of capital in interstate commerce. For example, there will ultimately be need of enlarging the powers of the Interstate Commerce Commission along several different lines, so as to give it a larger and more efficient control over the railroads. It cannot too often be repeated that experience has conclusively shown the impossibility of securing by the actions of nearly half a hundred different state legislatures anything but an effective chaos in the way of dealing with the great corporations which do not operate exclusively within the limits of any one state. In some method, whether by a national license law or in any other fashion, we must exercise, and that at an early date, a far more complete control than at present over these great corporations, a control that will, among other things, prevent the evils of excessive overcapitalization, and that will compel the disclosure by each big corporation of its stockholders and of its properties and business, whether owned directly or through subsidiary or affiliated corporations. This will tend to put a stop to the securing of inordinate profits by favored individuals at the expense of the general public, the stockholders, or the wage workers. Our efforts should be not so much to prevent consolidation as such, but so to supervise and control it as to see that it results in no harm to the people. The reactionary or ultra-conservative apologists for the misuse of wealth assail the effort to secure such control as a step toward socialism. As a matter of fact, it is these reactionaries and ultra-conservatives who are themselves most potent in increasing socialistic feeling. One of the most efficient methods of averting the consequences of a dangerous agitation, which is 80% wrong, is to remedy the 20% of evil as to which the agitation is well founded. The best way to avert the very undesirable move for the governmental ownership of railways is to secure by the government, in behalf of the people, as a whole such adequate control and regulation of the great interstate common carriers, as will do away with the evils which give rise to the agitation against them. So the proper antidote to the dangerous and wicked agitation against the men of wealth, as such is to secure by proper legislation and executive action the abolition of the grave abuses which actually do obtain in connection with the business use of wealth under our present system, or rather no system, a failure to exercise any adequate control at all. Some persons speak as if the exercise of such governmental control would do away with the freedom of individual initiative and dwarf individual effort. This is not a fact. It would be a veritable calamity to fail to put a premium upon individual initiative, individual capacity and effort, upon the energy, character, and foresight which it is so important to encourage in the individual. But as a matter of fact, the deadening and degrading effect of pure socialism, and especially of its extreme form communism, and the destruction of individual character which they would bring about, are in part achieved by the wholly unregulated competition which results in a single individual or corporation rising at the expense of all others until his or its rise effectually checks all competition and reduces former competitors to a position of utter inferiority and subordination. In enacting and enforcing such legislation, as this Congress already has to its credit, we are working on a coherent plan, with the steady endeavor to secure the needed reform by the joint action of the moderate men, the plain men who do not wish anything hysterical or dangerous, but who do intend to deal in resolute common-sense fashion with the real and great evils of the present system. The reactionaries and the violent extremists show symptoms of joining hands against us. Both assert, for instance, that, if logical, we should go to government ownership of railroads and the like, the reactionaries, because on such an issue they think the people would stand with them, while the extremists care rather to preach discontent and agitation than to achieve solid results. As a matter of fact, our position is as remote from that of the Bourbon reactionary, as from that of the impracticable or sinister visionary. We hold that the government should not conduct the business of the nation, but that it should exercise such supervision as will ensure its being conducted in the interest of the nation. Our aim is, so far as may be, to secure, for all decent, hard-working men, equality of opportunity and equality of burden. The actual working on our laws has shown that the effort to prohibit all combination, good or bad, is noxious, where it is not ineffective. Combination of capital, like combination of labor, is a necessary element on our present industrial system. It is not possible completely to prevent it, and if it were possible, such complete prevention would do damage to the body politic. What we need is not vainly to try to prevent all combination, but to secure such rigorous and adequate control and supervision of the combinations as to prevent their injuring the public, or existing in such form as inevitably to threaten injury, for the mere fact that a combination has secured practically complete control of a necessary of life would under any circumstances show that such combination was to be presumed to be adverse to the public interest. It is a more fortunate one that our present laws should forbid all combinations, instead of sharply discriminating between those combinations which do good and those combinations which do evil. Rebates, for instance, are as often due to the pressure of big shippers, as was shown in the investigation of the Standard Oil Company, and as has been shown, since by the investigation of the Tobacco and Sugar Trusts, as to the initiative of big railroads. Often railroads would like to combine for the purpose of preventing a big shipper from maintaining improper advantages at the expense of small snippers and of the general public. Such a combination, instead of being forbidden by law, should be favored. In other words, it should be permitted to railroads to make agreements, provided these agreements were sanctioned by the Interstate Commerce Commission and were published. With these two conditions complied with, it is impossible to see what harm such a combination could do to the public at large. It is a public evil to have on the statute books a law incapable of full enforcement, because both judges and juries realize that its full enforcement would destroy the business of the country, for the result is to make decent railroad men violators of the law against their will, and to put a premium in the behavior of the willful wrongdoers. Such a result in turn tends to throw the decent man and the willful wrongdoer into close association, and in the end to drag down the former to the latter's level, for the man who becomes a lawbreaker in one way unhappily tends to lose all respect for law and to be willing to break it in many ways. No more scathing condemnation could be visited upon a law than is contained in the words of the Interstate Commerce Commission when, In commenting upon the fact that the numerous joint traffic associations do technically violate the law, they say, the decision of the United States Supreme Court in the Trans-Missouri case and the Joint Traffic Association case has produced no practical effect upon the railway operations of the country. Such associations, in fact, exist now, as they did before these decisions, and with the same general effect. In justice to all parties, we ought probably to add that it is difficult to see how our interstate railways could be operated with due regard to the interest of the shipper and the railway without concerted action of the kind afforded through these associations. This means that the law, as construed by the Supreme Court, is such that the business of the country cannot be conducted without breaking it. I recommend that you give careful and thorough consideration to this subject, and if you find the opinion of the Interstate Commerce Commission justified, that you amend the law so as to obviate the evil disclosed.